Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. Maddie here for the SDA Housing Podcast, which is a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things specialist disability accommodation in the ever-changing NDIS world. This show is brought to you by NDIS Property Australia, and today we are very grateful to introduce Patty from Focal Community Services. So welcome, Patty, and thank you for being a part of this episode today. Tell me a little bit about what Focal does.
Hi, Maddie. Thank you for inviting me on the show today. I really appreciate it. Focal, it's actually our 50th anniversary year this year. So it's very exciting. Yeah.
It's exciting. Congratulations to Focal.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have been a part of the Focal community for about 18 years, which is a bit crazy. I was a young girl when I started at Focal, and now I'm still a young girl. But Focal is a disability organization that came together from, it formed as an advocacy group for people with disabilities. And over time, we have evolved to be a provider of services. We do SIL, we do community access, we do personal care, we do support coordination, and really we do group services as well. So where clients can get together and create friendships.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. You must have a real passion for what you do. If you've, you know, you've been able to stay for 18 years, that's absolutely amazing. And you've watched the journey, I'm guessing. How big of a journey has Focal had? From what change have you seen from when you started to where you're sitting today with Focal?
Oh, geez, yes, a lot. So I joined Focal when it was Disability Services that gave the funding to Focal, and it was all group funding. So it was allocated funding that we needed to use for several different clients in our service. And then NDIS came in, and that went from it being looked at as a whole to individualizing that service and meeting the needs individually for those clients. So NDIS has been a real turning point. There's obviously been pros and cons to it, but at the end of the day, it allows clients to set their own goals and really to try and make sure that there's no limitation for what they're wanting to achieve in their life.
And you guys have got some clients that have been with you from the very beginning, do you?
We do, yes. So obviously not 50 years, because that would be a very long time. But when we became a service provider, we had clients that sort of came in. We did a lot of children's services as well as adult services, which was not something that a lot of people did back then. So it met that need that was needed in the community. And what that allowed us to have, and a very special part of Focal, is those children grew as with the supports of Focal, and then they became adults. And those adults either went off and became independent and lived their best life by going out into the world, or they've also stayed with Focal and they get services now with Focal as an adult, and to help them live their life and get the support they need.
That's absolutely amazing. That's really good to hear. I love hearing that story. That's beautiful. What sort of drove you to wanting to work in the disability sector? What is your passion behind it?
Well, I worked in mainstream businesses, so corporate businesses. I worked for council. I worked for quantity surveyors. I worked for just sales teams, etc. And none of it really fitted into what I was passionate about. And then one day I saw a job going for Focal and thought, I'm going to apply. And I never looked back. It was falling in love with the clients that we deliver services to, and getting to know even non-verbal clients originally there wasn't a lot of education on people with disability back, you know, 20 years ago. So growing up, autism, you know, Down syndrome, you know, all the different disability, intellectual impairment, they were kind of not talked about. So, you know, people would go to mainstream schools, they would be a little bit different. Unfortunately, they would get picked on for being different. And we didn't realize back then that it was people that, you know, thought differently, had different needs. And so when I came to Focal, it really educated me on the people that are behind, you know, their disability is a part of them, but it's not who they are. And it was just, I just couldn't get enough of being a part of their journey.
No, it sounds like you love being playing such a big role in changing their lives and being able to help them along the way.
That's exactly why I'm here. And Focal has allowed me to have several different roles throughout my journey. So it's not that I've stayed in one particular role. I've evolved, I've grown, and I've been able to do it within the one organization, which has been amazing.
That's amazing. That's so beautiful. So what do you, in your current role right now, what do you love most about what you do in your current role?
So my role is the Community Development Senior Manager at Focal. So I support intake and inquiries team, the marketing of Focal, and also the program activities that are run from Focal. So a part of the job that I love to do, I used to be a support coordinator. And in that space, I learned that there was a lot of gaps missing from services that are needed within the disability community. So I wanted to get over to the other side to be able to create what was missing. And so that's what I do. I look at the different activities we have, the needs of the people in the community, and try and build programs to be able to support the clients to achieve their goals in whatever way necessary.
That's so beautiful. What sort of group classes do you guys have there? What sort of, you know, groups do you hold? Is there an age, a variation of how old you've got to be in these groups?
So we have children's activity groups. So that's, there's a junior program, there's a senior program, which is for children that are 12 to 16. And those activities, we have a FAB program, which is getting out in the community. We have an after school care program. We have vacation care programs. And so they're all children based group activities so that they can have their peer development. Then we have adult groups. And obviously, no one person is the same. So we have a wide variety. We have life skills groups, which is about, we have a cooking group, we have stepping out men's and ladies, which is going out into the community and getting to do activities together, which helps them learn travel training, helps them learn financial independence, it, you know, peer development, making friendships and sustaining those friendships. And then we have other activities, which is just to have a great time. We have Friday Night Fever, which is a disco. We have basketball and performing arts, which we've actually linked into mainstream organizations to be able to build an activity that's based on going to the stadium for basketball or going to the studio for dancing. And those teachers are the ones that have that experience, but we're there to support those clients and help build the rules around what their ability is. And that's basically what we do. We do have a wide variety, but it's not all we do, but it's a big part of what we do.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. It must play a big role in, you know, building on their independence, all of those groups and the choice and control. It does certainly, it seems to me like Focal very much does strive on that choice and control of each participant and you know, their needs and what they want to do. And you have a wide range of groups that can accommodate for that. So that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Now, one question I feel is a topic that, you know, we all find a lot of different things frustrating when it comes to the NDIS, but what do you find most frustrating about this industry?
The frustrating thing about this industry is the funding. So clients get a plan. So they're with NDIS, they put in the application, they get the funding, then what do they do next? So some clients will get given a support coordinator. Not all clients get given a support coordinator. What that means is that that family or the nominee for that person has to budget those clients' funds and find the services. Now, a lot of clients and their families really struggle to understand that concept and know how to link into the different services. Now, what this has resulted in is that clients run out of funding before the end of the plan because the family hasn't known or the nominee hasn't known how to manage those funds and what that means to them. And then they'll get to the, you know, say 4 months out from the plan and their funding will stop. And then they have, you know, created these relationships with these other clients, engaged in services, and all of a sudden that's taken away from them. You know, for anyone that's in supported independent living or an SDA, you know, if the funding hasn't been put in there to meet their needs, it means that the organization are supporting these clients not based on what they actually really need, and the funding doesn't last for the duration of the plan, which means that services, and I know it's not just focal, there's a lot of services in the industry that are continuing to provide support without funding, and it's just not sustainable across the board nationally. And therefore, there is a real issue with that. And just recently, there's been about 4 or 5 other providers that I've been talking to, and those providers are really struggling to stay afloat because they're providing that service but not getting paid, and you still need to pay your staff and you still need to pay your overheads. And it's to make sure that the clients are safe, but I don't feel that NDIS is actually looking at it in a way that can be sustainable for organisations moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Completely agree there.
So the other struggle that, you know, a lot of organisations have, including our own, is financially sustainable training. So obviously you want your support worker to have the training that's needed to be able to support the client. However, there's no funding available within NDIS to be able to provide that training. So all organisations need to take that money from, you know, the imaginary pot to be able to provide that training to staff to ensure that the staff are trained to support the clients. And that's across the board. We're not talking about complex clients. We're talking all support workers need to have training to be able to support clients in whatever it is, even to the simple point of administering medication. So you might have a client that doesn't have complex needs but needs to take medication. Each staff member needs to go through training to even administer a tablet or even to pop it out. Now, that's a cost to the organization that's not picked up from NDIS, and that's sort of a small portion of the training to look at when NDIS are looking at how is this going to work long term.
Yep, absolutely. I'm in complete agreeance there. What is, do you have one or two things that you can maybe tell everyone that not many people know about an NDIS plan? Is there anything that you know from your many years of experience, even as a support coordinator, that not many people know about participants' NDIS plans, like any hidden things that they may be able to access? Do you have any tips or just information for?
So the biggest thing is that when you get your plan, if your funds are not sustainable for the whole plan, you have 3 months to go for a review of a reviewable decision. So that means getting the evidence to support why you need more funding and making sure that you do it within those 3 months to avoid having to go for a change of circumstance later where that could take 6 months to go through. Also, 3 months prior to your plan being reviewed, you can actually ask for an early review. So that's something that clients don't know, but that is something that's in NDIS, that if you are running out of funds and you are 3 months out, you can ring NDIS and organize a rollover to your plan or a plan review prior to the actual date that it ends.
Awesome. Awesome. That was very helpful. Thank you, Patty. We might wrap up for today, but I do just want to thank you for your time today and thank you for agreeing to be part of this episode. You've been absolutely amazing, and I'm sure we will catch up again with you soon.
Thank you so much, Maddie, and thank you so much to everyone in your team. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.